GHRT Rewinds are brought to you by Laughlin and Wolfington Realty. Mike and Nate and Harrison teaming up to help you sell your home faster and for top dollar. This is the George Hale Rick Tyler Show. Gee, it's been a while since Ben Dudley has been on our program. He's in Portland. He's the director of the Mainers for Clean Energy Jobs Coalition. He's sounding good on line three this morning.
Hey, good morning. Nice to talk to you, Ben. We're still at it. We haven't solved this yet, have we?
Not yet, but we're making progress. Good morning, Rick. Good morning, George.
After all those hearings in Farmington, and we know that on Wednesday there are going to be a hearing, and there's going to be a hearing in Augusta, I guess, on three bills that deal with Central Maine Power and their plan to string the power lines from Quebec down to Massachusetts, part of it through Maine. This NECEC. Before we ask and get into some of the details about where some of the money is coming from for some of what we're hearing on the radio and seeing on TV, Ben, give us an idea. The Mainers for Clean Energy Jobs Coalition, where do you folks come down on the NECEC project?
So the Mainers for Clean Energy Jobs Coalition is supportive of the project, and we were founded by the Maine State Chamber of Commerce, the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers, Local 104, Associated Builders and Contractors Maine, Associated General Contractors Maine, and a few others, to advocate in support of this project, to be a voice apart from CMP that can make the case to Mainers for why this project is good for Maine.
So basically, you've got an oar in the water. You've got a dog in this fight. I don't blame you. You've got people who would be involved, hopefully, in providing some of the services needed, right?
Yeah, but I would say that all of Maine has a dog in this fight in seeing this project succeed. This is the largest single clean energy project in Maine history that promises to bring good jobs to Maine and potentially have $1 billion economic impact on lowering energy costs for Maine businesses and consumers. And it's also a major reduction in greenhouse gas emissions, just a start in what we need to do, but a big step forward. And all of this is being paid for by Massachusetts. None of it costs Mainers a penny.
Ben Dudley's director of the Mainers for Clean Energy Jobs Coalition. And in a moment, again, we're going to dig into this, where the money's coming from for what we hear, what we see. What do you make of what the battle has been so far for the hearts and minds, I guess, of Mainers, even though there are some local votes going on, Farmington, Wilton, Starks and such. But what do you make of the way this campaign has gone on?
Well, someone is spending a huge amount of money to kill the project. That's clear. These are unknown interests. They haven't disclosed who they are. And they're spreading misinformation. So they ran a statewide television ad in December and January. They did it again in February and March. And they've been spending hundreds of thousands of dollars on social media. A conservative estimate has them spending $500,000 or more to influence how Mainers think about this project. And they're doing so with misinformation. They're not being truthful about the energy benefits to Maine. They're lying about the width of the transmission corridor. They're lying about the governor's position. And they're misleading fundamentally on the type of land that this transmission line runs across, that it's logging land and has been for decades, if not more.
From the outside looking in, it's like many other campaigns that we've seen, although this one's got more money. Why do you suppose the people who are opposed to this, I understand your side of it quite easily, why are the people, whoever they are, who are opposed to this, are so vehemently opposed to it?
Well, I mean, it depends on which group of people you're talking about. I mean, there are people, particularly people in the region, who you understand the type of change that is being talked about is scary on the surface when you don't sort of dig in and understand the details. And I respect that, and they should be handled respectfully, and they should get all the information they need in order to make a good decision. But there are others who have probably, one would assume, an economic stake. That's why they're spending so much money against the project. You know, I liken it to a buying a car analogy. Let's say you're saving money to buy the car you've always wanted, and you find it in just the right color with all the right options that you want, and you're going in to buy it, and someone's convincing you not to buy that car. And next thing you find out, when you decide not to buy the car based on the information they give you, you see them driving down the street in the car you wanted to buy. it helps to know the motivations of the people that are trying to convince you of something. It helps to know who they are and what brings them to the table. And that's what Stop the Quarter hasn't done. They haven't told us who they are. They've been asked by the media. There have been numerous requests for them to disclose who's funding their operation, and they refuse to do it. And I think before Maine people make a decision about whether this project is a benefit to Maine or not, they need to understand who is spreading the misinformation.
Ben Dudley,
motivation is.
Ben Dudley, with the director for Mainers for Clean Energy Jobs Coalition, as we talk about the NECEC project, CMP's plan to string power lines from Quebec down to Massachusetts. Ben, we want to dig into a couple of the myths, I'll call them that, the width and the governor's stance in a moment. But a listener sends this to us. What does Maine, other than the potential for jobs, what does Maine get out of the NECEC deal?
Yeah, it's a billion-dollar economic impact, and part of that is jobs. Part of that is energy cost savings, and by extension, the economic ripple effect from those savings. Plus, there's a reduction, a major reduction in greenhouse gas emissions, which is what personally, you know, brought me to want to do this work. We're talking about a reduction of 3.6 million metric tons of CO2 every year. That's the equivalent of removing 767,000 passenger vehicles from our roads. This is a major step forward in achieving very ambitious goals for carbon neutrality by mid-century.
Let's take that a little bit further. How do you accomplish that? This 145-mile transmission line, which goes from the Canadian border all the way down to Lewiston, how does that accomplish this greenhouse effect savings that you...
Yeah, so it's 1,200 megawatts of hydroelectricity, which is low carbon. It's got a carbon footprint equivalent to wind power. When that enters the New England energy market, and that's a correction I want to make from something you just said, repeating the talking points of this dark money group, that this energy is only for Massachusetts. That's not true. This energy benefits all of New England, Maine in particular, because that project runs through Maine. When that enters the New England energy market at a low cost, and it's a huge amount of electricity, it has the effect of forcing out dirtier generators of energy. In most cases, we're talking natural gas is the dominant energy supplier in New England. So this clean energy from Quebec displaces dirtier, mostly natural gas energy, making a huge dent in greenhouse gas emissions.
Ben Dudley, the director of Mainers for Clean Energy Jobs Coalition. If we were living in Nome, Alaska, this wouldn't be a problem because they've got all of the oil that they need and all the energy they need. But we don't have that here in our state. And some think that any chance that we can get to get more energy in our pipeline, it will bring down our costs. At least that's what we've heard from Governor LePage and his technical advisor on energy. Mm-hmm. Is there a guarantee that if we bring this power into the New England power pool, we'll see rates go down?
Well, don't take my word for it. I would suggest to your listeners to read the examiner's report from the Public Utilities Commission. The very clear statements there about the hundreds of hours of research they've done and the tens of thousands of pages of testimony they've gone through, and they reach conclusions that there are benefits to Maine in terms of energy prices. So don't take my word for it. Go to the independent resource, the Public Utilities Commission.
Okay, the buzzword in politics these days is dark money. I'm not sure who invented the phrase, but let's get to it. You claim there's a lot of dark money here. Why can't we find it?
So, you know, when it comes to our elections, whether it's a referendum campaign or a candidate campaign, and when it comes to, you know, legislative lobbying, there are strict disclosure requirements. But on a project like this that's just seeking permitting from state authorities, there's no law that requires anybody to disclose who they're raising money from and what they're spending their money on. And in this case, the Stop the Corridor group is spending obviously huge amounts of money to try and influence public opinion in Maine. And despite questions from the media and others, have refused to disclose the first bit of information about where their money is coming from and exactly what they're spending it on and how much. We can see what they're spending it on when they spend it on TV and on social media, and we can draw inferences from the costs that, of those kinds of communications. But it shouldn't have to be a guessing game. It should be plain for all Mainers to see so they can judge. Do I trust this source of information that's telling me this? And right now, Mainers can't make that judgment.
Listener sends us, and we had the same thought in our head, too. The claims that this will be as wide as the New Jersey Turnpike. Not that we've been down and actually measured the New Jersey Turnpike, but will this expansion cut a swath of property, the length or the width of the New Jersey Turnpike, Ben?
It's just a bald-faced lie. I mean, and there have been media reports on this. The New Jersey Turnpike is 300 feet wide. The clearing for this right-of-way that goes through the logging land in western Maine is 150 feet wide. It's half of what these folks are claiming. So it's just that's a great example of the mistruths they're spreading. And we deserve to know why they're spreading these mistruths. What's their interest in the outcome? What did they get by killing this project?
Well, that's been my question from the beginning. Why so vehemently opposed to it? Now, we hear it's going to kill certain aspects of water rafting and hunting and looking at pristine areas and all of that. What is the bottom line? Why the opposition is so adamant that this is a bad deal for Maine? I understand what people are saying, that it's a good deal for Maine, but what's the other side?
The question is probably better asked of them, but you know, I think there are a lot of fears out there ginned up by shadowy groups like Stop the Corridor that are presenting misinformation about the impacts on Maine and not talking about the positive. And the fact is, the 145-mile corridor you talked about, two-thirds of that is existing transmission lines. There's about a 53-mile section that, again, goes through logging land. This is not national forest. This is land that's been logged for generations. And it's a 150-foot wide corridor over 53 miles. That equates to 964 acres of clearing. Now, keep in mind, the annual average of wood harvest in Maine is 411,000 acres every year. And we're talking about adding 964 acres to that in exchange for, and, you know, nobody's saying there aren't trade-offs here, but this is in exchange for a major reduction in carbon emissions and significant economic stimulus in Maine.
With how much interest? Actually, I'm going to scrap that question. I'm going to ask this. You made a reference to the governor's stance on the NECEC and maybe some misunderstanding about that. I don't know if you can encapsulate that in a minute 30.
So the ad claims that that the governor opposed the project when she was a candidate, and that's just not true. The governor, to her credit, expressed a lot of skepticism and said that she was going to scrutinize this and make sure that Maine was getting what it deserved out of this project, and that, which is exactly what she did when she got to office. And you see the evidence of that in the settlement agreement in front of the Public Utilities Commission. Her work and others, including the Conservation Law Foundation and the Acadia Center, brought $260 million more in benefits to the state after she was elected governor.
When do we expect to see this this put to an end? When will they put a point on this? Any idea?
So the regulatory process, I imagine, will go through the summer, perhaps into the fall. You know, I hope the legislature, the cooler heads, will prevail, and the legislature will recognize that we have existing structures that are appropriately established to scrutinize these projects, and that the legislature won't seek to interfere.
GHRT Rewinds, brought to you by your hometown real estate team, Laughlin and Wolfington Realty. Thinking about selling your home? Call 629-9211 and start packing.